Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey, and welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's regular podcast. As always, I'm Craig Israel, creative director at ThunderTech, and we're mixing it up a little bit today. I have a new co-host.
Yeah, Eric Krylo from the account services department.
So what we're going to do is talk about a couple topics of interest to us, and then I have a little bit of a rant that I need to get out of my system.
Which I think we are all excited for.
Well, of course. So today we are going to start by talking about Playboy magazine. Eric, I don't know if you're familiar, but it's a magazine that features women in various states of nakedness.
Okay. If my parents are listening, I am not aware. However, if they are not listening, yes, I'm very well aware of Playboy.
So the exciting news about Playboy is they've recently announced that they're going to change their business model where they're doing away with nudie pictures altogether, which I found both exciting and stunning. I have a quote here from the CEO of Playboy. That would be Scott Flanders. He says, the political and sexual climate of 1953, the year Hugh Hefner introduced Playboy to the world, bears almost no resemblance to today. We're more free to express ourselves politically, sexually, and culturally today, blah, 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 blah. Once our readers see the innovative change we're making to the magazine, we're confident they will love the end product when it debuts next year. So starting next year, no more nudie pictures, just editorial photography. Eric, thoughts about that?
Yeah, so, you know, I think stunning was a word that you used, and it's certainly something that stuck out to me, not only because of the drastic shift that's being made, but more so in the timing of them making the change. I want to say I saw something like in 1975, there were close to 6 million subscribers, and I think the most recent data had that anywhere between 750 and 800,000. And to me, that seems like such a large jump, and it actually made me more curious as to why they may not have made that change sooner. And obviously, it's certainly a change in their minds for the better, but just based on how readership has dropped over the years and knowing that they're going more towards that journalistic approach, I almost fear for them in a way. Do you think in their minds that they're trying to get back to that 6 million subscriber level, or do you think that this is just let's see what happens based on what we change?
So I got to think that what they're really doing is trying to deal with some crisis control, right? That if the number of subscribers plummets, the number of advertisers plummets, right? So they're probably trying to think of a way to reinvent themselves for the modern age. What no one is saying in any of the news articles I've read is that you can get nudity anywhere instantly on the internet when you want it, so it becomes less relevant to find it in a glossy magazine. And I got to think that's driving a lot of their thinking. Now, Playboy, unlike, I don't know, your average porn site, at least does have a history of journalistic excellence, right? They've had fantastic news coverage, commentary, photography, you know, not of the nude variety in the past. So they can actually walk the walk when they say they're going to be a straight up, you know, journalistic sort of magazine. That's what's interesting to me, is to see if maybe as pornography became more easily accessible on the internet, if people really are or have been buying the magazine just for the content for years. I mean, that's the joke, right? I don't buy it for the nudie pictures, I buy it for the content. But I think this shift will really play out and let them know for sure if people really are interested in the content.
Yeah, and I think that it's definitely going to be not only a challenge for Playboy, but I think a challenge for the audience as well, because how much time, you know, as an audience member do you give, or as a potential subscriber or even current subscriber, how much time do you allow Playboy to really make that change full circle? And you know, will you still sort of hang on and allow them to do that? Or do you believe, Craig, that in at least the consumer's mind, either potential subscribers or current, do you think that they have the tolerance for this type of thing? Or are they? Do you believe that they're expecting this drastic change to be not only immediate, but to really be visible and give that sense of this is the real Playboy. So I think it's March, right, when they're essentially going to make this change?
That sounds right. I'll be curious to see too, because I think the results will be pretty apparent pretty quickly, right? I think people will drop off from the magazine, probably give it a go for a little bit. And to be fair, that what I've read has said they will no longer be featuring nudity. So I don't know if that means no nudity or just a lot less nudity. I wouldn't be surprised to see them phase out the nudie pictures over time.
Yeah, from what I read, and it's certainly paraphrasing here, but I want to say that they're still going with the models and provocative shots, but I think that they're going to have, you know, more clothes on them. So almost like the Maxims of the world, if Maxim is still around. I think that's the intent, or that's the direction that they're going with. Now, I think another interesting thing about this is sort of that taboo, tag that's been on this for so many years. You know, this used to be something that you snuck into your, you know, father's garage. Not me, but others may, you know, see you sneak into your father's garage, or, you know, it's sort of that concept of, oh, look what I found, and then you store it forever, and it's almost secretive in a way. And I wonder if that allure is going to be gone, you know, based on what you said about, sexually explicit content being available at the touch of a button and more folks having that. I wonder if the allure with that being gone, if that will ultimately contribute to Playboy's demise. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's interesting, because just like nudie pictures, you can get content, any content you really want on the internet for free too. So if they continue a subscription-based model, it'll be curious to, or I'm curious to see if the content really is so head and shoulders above other content that you can find that people stick around to read it. It may very well be a matter of, I came for the nudie pictures, but I stuck around for the content. You know, Playboy's trying to flip that on their head, saying, you know, come for the content. Again, I think they can pull it off. You know, I think they can really have high-level, engaging commentary. But if people have a tolerance for it, if they even want that, if they want to pay for it now, that's the real question.
Yeah.
So let's talk about other. Entities that have done a similar thing, right? Radically changed their business model. One that's near and dear to my heart is Cracked Magazine. So I don't know if you were a reader of Cracked back in the day, Eric. So
is this like a window improvement magazine?
Yes. Or, you know, Cracked Magazine was a poor man's Mad magazine. So it was illustrated. It was geared towards, you know, eighth grade reading level. It was just a bunch of visual gags and you know, funny parodies. It was a magazine that I would pick up when Mad Magazine was sold out at the newsstand. That's where people my age used to buy periodicals, Eric.
I've heard of this. I've heard of this newsstand, but I've never seen one in real life.
Yeah, of course.
I have one on my iPhone, I think. I think it's called Newsstand.
So I became aware of Cracked.com. A couple years ago, is I hadn't thought about Cracked Magazine in years, and then somehow it floated to the top of my Facebook feed or whatnot, and then come to find out that they have completely reinvented themselves online, no longer as this kind of juvenile humor magazine, but as a more of an Onion-esque parody site. They do a lot of lists, right? Because everybody loves a good list. So it'll be, you know, the top 10 things you never knew about, you know, the beef industry or whatever. Have you seen Cracked.com at all?
No, I haven't, but I'm quite, you know, I'm familiar with that type of style.
Yeah. So it's the writing is really pretty clever and funny. They have, like I said, a bunch of lists. They have a video series. They have, you know, some illustrations, but not like Mad Magazine illustrations. But it's fascinating to me that in the midst of all this parody and humor, they have some really interesting, insightful points that they make. Not that what you would expect from your traditional, you know, Mad Magazine sort of approach. So as far as I can tell, and based from the subscribers I see, or the sponsors I see on their page, they've been pretty successful with their model.
Well, and I think that, you know, that's something to look at. You know, if you are Playboy, it's sort of looking at these other brands and seeing if there are similarities that exist. So knowing that, you know, we won't be able to predict what happens with Playboy in a couple months. Let's take this Cracked example. And, you know, Craig, you were obviously a consumer of the Cracked magazine. So putting yourself back, you know, when was that? A couple years ago, I'm assuming, when this change took place?
Yes. Now, I mean, I read Cracked when I was like 16.
So do you remember the change? Do you remember when they made this change, and how did it make you feel, I guess, as a consumer or as a loyal reader?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, there was a gap of decades between when I was regular buying Cracked magazine from the newsstand and when I rediscovered them online. So it's not like I was a steadfast, loyal consumer that was like, give me back my fart jokes. I'm outraged that you've changed. But what it did do is put them back on my radar, because I certainly hadn't thought about Cracked magazine in years. And if I had been told that they translated their publication to the internet, I probably wouldn't have been very interested, because obviously I'm older, more mature now, and I still have a soft spot in my heart for fart jokes, don't get me wrong, but it's not my go-to entertainment choice. But like I said, It's very different, you know, much more mature level of satire now than we ever saw before.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Playboy may follow a similar similar model there, where they look at what they have been putting out, and I don't think they're going to make too far of a jump there. You know what I mean? They still need to keep, I think, part of their core audience. And what I'd also be curious to see is, knowing that the majority of their subscribers now are used to that physical magazine, I'm wondering how they're being updated about this change. You know, they're obviously not looking at this stuff digitally if they get it in the mail every month. So I'm curious to see, of not only how Playboy's approaching those customers, letting them know about the change, but even in advertising. So I imagine with the Cracked example, when they started to reach out to new advertisers, I wonder how they tried to sell that sort of platform change to them.
Yeah,
and how that's going to work out for Playboy, because I imagine that, you know, anytime a brand makes this big of a change or seeks to change their model, I got to believe that there is some foresight there. So something about what's currently happening with the landscape is making them believe that they can make this change moving forward, because I can't imagine them just going into this blindly.
Yeah, I got to think that both these examples that we've cited saw significant bleeding from their revenue and knew they had to make a radical change to A, stay afloat, and B, position themselves for success for the next 10, 20 years.
Yeah. So you and I, we work in marketing, or at least that's what my paycheck tells me.
That's right.
So I'd be curious, how would you approach this, you know, with some of our clients if you know, we were brought an opportunity, you know, obviously we sell media. So if you were presented with a situation where one of our clients wanted to drastically change their business model, and they wanted our assistance in communicating that to both their audience and potential advertisers, is there anything you really mention to them or want them to keep at the forefront of their minds when they go to approach something like that?
Yeah, I think we'd have to figure out how big of a departure it is. So for instance, again, using Playboy, that the demographic, which I'm going to assume is an older, more affluent demographic that likes looking at the magazine, also resonates with the content. So I don't believe that Playboy is repositioning themselves from a content standpoint for an entirely new audience. So that would be that makes it a little bit of an easier transition. Same sort of demo, just changing the content we're pushing out to that demo. Now, if it was something radical like Cracked, if they made a big change, and I'm sure this happened over years, but if they decided one day, no more cartoon magazine, it's going to be straight up mature satire, I think you'd have to do a hard look and see if your demographic is radically changing. And if it is, what's the return on investment here, right? Is there a much greater potential to resonate with this other new audience, you know, from a dollar standpoint? And if so, how do we communicate that first to A, convince the new audience that this is a magazine they want to look at, and B, how to shed their old you know, their old model so that people don't think that, you know, you used to do A, but now we do B, but we need to really convince you that we do B really well now.
Yeah, and I think that that's, you know, that'll be the key. It's not only sharing, you look, you know, you know us as this, but here's where we're headed. And I think it's, you know, that strategy behind that. And hopefully these brands have done enough research and have done enough planning that they're able to really express that. And I think as long as those two views are clear, I think that that's something that as an advertiser, if it were me, I'd be a little bit more comfortable with, you know, so knowing that I'm not going to lose this big audience because I am changing my format, but also knowing that my brand will still have that respectableness, if that's a word.
Respectability?
Yeah.
Respectivity? And now, a quick reminder that Thundersec is an integrated marketing agency, and we have services to sell you. As part of our services, education. So our latest trends book is at the printers as we speak. If you're not familiar, the trends book is our annual publication that outlines a handful of the emerging trends in the marketing industry that we think you, as marketers, need to be aware of. This time, we'll be visiting topics that include email is sexy again, flat design 2.0, and the ad blocking boogeyman. If you'd like a copy, you can visit trends.thundertech.com and give us your address, and we'll send you a copy your way. It will also be available digitally as an ebook, which is super cool. So check back for that in the next few weeks. And now, back to the show. All right, so enough about that. A quick rant, and this was brought about by a post or a comment left on one of the Thundertech's videos. So going back to the vaults, back in June of 2013, we posted a video called "Why Do People Hate Advertising?" And it's me talking to the camera, talking about advertising in general. And my thesis was that people don't really hate advertising. People hate bad advertising. The case study I use here is the Super Bowl. And you should go check out this video so you can get the full scoop. But in a nutshell, look at the Super Bowl. Everybody loves advertisements on the Super Bowl. They tend to be some of the best and brightest of the work from our industry. And everybody talks about them for weeks ahead of the game. Everybody talks about them for weeks after the game. So this leads me to believe that people don't hate advertising. People hate bad advertising, but not when it's done well. So the people on the internet don't agree with me. So I saw a recent comment from Ray. Ray says, people do hate advertising, that the internet has a tsunami of advertising now. You can't click on any headline in the news, check the weather, watch a TV show without being bombarded with an ad bomb right at the start and a few dozen other ads swarming around. It's sickening. So, I mean, Ray told me.
Well, and it's clear that Ray has a thesaurus handy.
Yes, the word of the day calendar for Ray is working off great. And as much as I enjoyed Ray's comment, this led me back to the video and I started reading through them again. And I think my favorite comment might be from Eric Borkin, posted 3 months ago. And Eric really gets to the point. He says, "You are cancer, kill yourself."
Oh, stern, but fair.
This may be the best comment I've ever seen to a video that I was associated with. And I'll tell you, Eric, if you're listening, I'm not cancer, not at all. And I don't really intend to kill myself.
Yeah, something about that sounds counterproductive to me.
No, but as always, we appreciate the feedback. And if we don't use your suggestions, just know that we do listen to all of them. All right, so that's Thundercast for this time. As always, if you enjoy what you hear here, you can subscribe to us either on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever fine podcasts are sold. If you have a question, you can email us email us directly at thundercast@thundertech.com. I think that's right. You can subscribe to our Twitter, check out our website, thundertech.com. Or even pick up the phone if you really, really wanted to tell me something like Ray and Eric wanted to tell me via the comments. So until next time, thanks for listening.